Okay, I'm ready to call the meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Rosales.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Hartke.
Here.
Kibler.
Here.
Maxwell.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
James.
Here. Next, I need approval of addenda, which I don't think there are any.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Passes. Next, we need a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion? I've got one on line 56. At least 80% of the facility is damaged instead of damages. Any other?
Are you as an editor?
Not, please don't. Any other comment? None. So we've got a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, public participation. Seeing none, I'm moving on. Communications. Anybody have any communications?
Actually, I wanted to say thanks again to Van and Dana. The numbers that came in on that, the energy efficiency project where we're getting, less than 6 month payback time, I think is really great. And I think we need a little more recognition because we did get that covered through grants and through energy efficiency. So thanks.
Any other comments? Hearing none. We got approval of the contract for the installation of a generator backup system for the IT network at the Brookings Administration Center. We need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Dana, you want to say anything about this, please?
You bet. Hopefully on your desk, I have a handout from GHR, reminder that GHR was hired to help us put together the engineering specs for this bid document, see us through the bid, and to help oversee the installation. So this letter of recommendation is from GHR, who was present last Thursday during the bid opening, and is recommending Barber and Diatley to be contracted to do the installation of the backup generator for IT services. Price $79,000, GHR estimated prior to the bid at $102,000. That also included several contingency items, bid contingency, construction contingency. So it's a good, fair bid. It's a good price. Second and third page, you can see the actual prices and who bid. But we would also recommend and believe that Barber Diatley can purchase and install this generator for us and get it done in a timely manner.
Any other discussion? Gary?
A couple of questions. Did our engineer assure us that the generator that Barber and Diatley plan to furnish fully meets specs and is good quality?
Yes, sir.
And also, are we going to pour a pad to put that on? Is that part of this deal?
Yes, we are. The pad, actually, one of the reasons that the price came down slightly from their 102 estimate is instead of locating it on the west side of the building out here, we're actually going to put it in the courtyard over here, closer to the electric panels, closer to a gas line. So savings, great savings, actually, in running pipe for a gas line and running electric wire.
Any other discussion?
Dana, were the criteria that you chose specifically for Barber and DeAtley strictly on price, or were there other considerations as well?
It was strictly on price. All companies had to bid the same thing. The generator was spec'd. All the wire, conduit, everything was spec'd for this job. So really, it's interpreting what's on the specs, and then each company submitting a fair price, what they felt they could do the job for with their overhead and profit built in. So feel like that what we got was a terrific price.
Can now. Go ahead, Patsy. I'm sorry.
Did Andy Rhodes have any comments about the bid that you accepted or any concerns that he shared with you?
No, but Andy was involved with throughout the process, involved in our meetings with GHR, sitting through, assisting with writing specs to make sure that it fit all of his needs. So he and his staff have been involved with the project, so we're in terrific shape.
Jay?
What was the cost for GHR to do this for us? And is it done, or do they go to that's finished?
Their price is not to exceed $10,400.
No more questions. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one is approval of fiscal year 2015 capital facilities recommendations. Dana?
Contained in the document that was sent out to you is a note from Van. Detailing our 2015 capital asset requests. The majority of the items, obviously, are replacing mechanical here at Brookins. Several of them, you'll note, if you just look at the box, have been here probably since day one of the building. They're 1970 vintage boilers. Air handler units, and then we've got some rooftop air handler units that are 1987. All require lots of TLC to continue operation. We should be, and we will look to see if we can get some payback from DCEO with these purchases as we would if we move forward. In addition to that, included in this is some amount solicited at $252,000 to work on precast problems at the satellite jail that have been discussed before. That's an estimate, folks. It may be more than that, but we need to plug a number in to get this ball rolling as we move forward.
Dana, the satellite jail, that water heater, how big of a water heater is that, gallon-wise?
It's a couple hundred gallons. I don't remember the exact number, but it's got some age on it. It's been repaired a number of times. It's continuing to leak, and before it has a major fall apart, we need to get it replaced.
And these... I know we've got other equipment probably other than here at Brookins that's probably getting old also, correct? Because if I remember some of my stuff from Mr. Reinhardt.
The items that listed on the first page of Van's note are the older items, mechanical items for this building. So once those will be replaced, then this building is in pretty good position. That's pod 200 and pod 300. You've got a large air handler on top of pod 400, and then you've got about it's 12. I can never remember the exact number. It's either 12 or 13 units on pod 100 that They're newer, but they're certainly up there in age and need to be looked at.
Any questions of Dana? Gary?
I'll specifically mention the water heater at the jail, but same question could apply to some of these other items. Can we just replace that water heater in kind, or are we going to have to do some engineering as well as maybe some replumbing to make that thing work?
Well, it's an excellent question. Plumbing-wise, no. We'll be able to plug it, whatever one we purchase, to replace directly in. But depending upon the shape, the configuration of a power vent for a new one, we may have to do a little manufacturing for that vent hood, but it'll be minimal.
Follow up. So you don't think we'd have to necessarily hire an engineer? We can do it with a good sheet metal worker?
I agree. I think what we can do is put a... It's over our bid. It's over $30,000, so it'd have to be a bid item. But I think we can specify what we're looking for with a range and have a company give us a good price, fair price, and do the installation.
That's more questions for Deb. We know that there is no money in the budget for that because even what we looked at last week, we don't have money for. So when we're looking next week on the 9th, are we going to have a list of all these items so we can decide which one of them we, because honestly, that could be really nice to replace all these, but we don't have the money. So are we simply going to have a list of all these, or is that going to show up as one line item of whatever, $800,000 coming from facilities?
There is $532,610 already in the 15 budget, and what you'll have next week is a request from this committee for the funding that this committee requests be included in next year's budget. And no, I was not going to include the list, but we certainly can include it as an attachment.
I thought you said that you fully funded that capital asset replacement this year, unlike previous years.
Right.
So do we not get a full list of everything that's beyond the usual 2% or whatever, I don't know, what the standard? So wouldn't that 500 would be part of that list? Because we know we're going to have to cut something. So I would prefer to know more specifically what we were thinking of funding before we cut it.
The facilities capital budget summary includes everything that leads to that total number. So that can be updated and provided in addition to the other information that you get when you're looking at finance at how much to appropriate. You're not going to decide it next week, most likely anyway. And you would not... I mean, we don't provide the board with the full list for every department capital budget of all the items included because it would take probably a couple hundred pages to list it all because it's individual technology pieces and things like that. So what you know about that is that you're fully funding all future reserve and it excludes capital facilities for everything else that's funded through the capital fund. You will also be provided with information about what it would cost to fund only the current items that need to be replaced next year. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, I know we're going to have to cut. So unlike last year where we pretty much could manage with the optimistic anticipation of the fee increase, we were able to fund pretty much everything we wanted to. Mm-hmm.
We didn't fund future reserve, though.
Right, I know. So this year, we definitely know that this is not happening. Like, we have to cut something. And I understand we don't want an overload of information because we have to make, but we want to make an informed decision. So I'm trying to think how to make a list. Like, when you do the spreadsheet and we say, okay, how do you move money from
there,
here?
There is already a spreadsheet like that that will be with the finance agenda. And if you find it doesn't have enough information, but quite frankly, if finance decides it's only going to spend 620,000 of the 800,000 that this committee requests tonight, I would expect it comes back to this committee to decide exactly how it will spend
okay,
that money
so we don't
next
have
year.
To decide what
I don't
we
think
don't
you
fund.
Have to do that at finance, no.
Well, I understand we have to do it at finance, but before we vote to move this to finance, I don't want to vote to move anything that I don't know how I'm going to handle. So that's all. I mean, I understand it's a finance decision, it's not facilities, but we're supposed to vote not to say, let's request that from finance.
Right.
And so I want to make... a reasonable request.
Right.
That's all.
So I have another question. So if we use these 532,000 of future reserves, is there anything left for a rainy day situation that we may encounter that is not appropriated for?
That information is all in the Capital Asset Replacement Fund budget summary, which you received last week. It is a fund balance that continues to decline if we don't budget for future reserve. But when you budget the 532,000, that's only for what you will do. For facilities, all you're doing is budgeting what you're going to spend next year, because you can't even cover what you need to do next year at this point. So there's no future reserve for facilities. It's all for all the other items in the Capital Asset Replacement Fund: technology, vehicles for certain departments, equipment that has to be replaced that is more expensive than $5,000. That's what's in the rest of the Capital Asset Replacement Fund. Facilities is kind of an isolated department within the fund, and we don't have any future reserve for facilities.
Okay, thank you.
One thing I certainly like about four of the items on this list is that they're all dealing with energy efficiency, which is two things. One, there is a good chance we'll get at least something from DECO or CDAC or someone to help us pay for these things at these estimates. I mean, on one, it was $19,000. On another, we found out that it's almost going to pay for itself. And another thing about it is that it's eventually going to lower our overall utility costs, which starts getting less money in just paying for energy and more money towards these other repairs and equipment needs that we're going to need in the future. So to me, those four items are certainly good ones to go at. Again, Ms. Busey's point is very accurate in that we are budgeting an amount to request. That doesn't mean that we are not committing tonight that these are the four or five things that we will definitely pay for next year. I mean, when Dana came in, we reorganized completely what we ended up paying for in 14 than what we committed to last year in budget. We're just setting aside a chunk of money, basically, in my mind. And this is how we're justifying that chunk of money. But if we come across something else that blows up and we can't pay for these, we'll have to pay for that first, and then we'll run out of money. But as a member of facilities, I'm for requesting larger than we think we're going to get, but I want to be reasonable as well. But as a member of finance, that'll be our job to decide how much we can throw at facilities.
Quiz.
Dana, do we have any projections on what kind of savings we would have on energy costs in the old courthouse building once those windows are replaced?
Not yet, but we hope to. In the near future.
Thank you.
I guess I would just, Rachel, I think what you were trying to say is we have such a big list, what are the most important things and how do we cover them, correct? And I always worry about that too, because when I'm looking at these, like let's take that satellite jail, for instance, if the water heater would go down next month, it's got to be fixed. There's no two ways about it. So to have money there, then it would go to that. And Josh was correct when he said last year we were going to do certain roofing jobs, but they got shoved back because we had some other jobs come up, such as the chillers. I couldn't think of the word. Thank you. My head's plugged. But anyway, so things like that come up. But the sad thing is, as old as this stuff is, I don't mind asking for more money. You heard what I've said, and it's in the minutes. There's other areas we can cut or make a moratorium for a while, but my problem in my mind is the longer you let things progress, other things happen. And like Dana was saying with that water heater, the new technology is you have a power vent that vents to the outside. It's no longer vented up through a chimney and what have you. That all takes money, takes time to install and, you know, to configure it. So I'm hoping that the finance committee and everybody really looks at it and says, you know, we've let the buildings go, these, you know, and somehow we'll have to look at the whole list and say, what's priority? But we keep pushing them roofs back, and someday we're going to wake up and there's going to be people with buckets screaming, we need our roof fixed. And you can go up and patch only so much. So let's, you know, because we got problems at the old nursing home and some other roofs, if I remember correct.
We do have some issues with roofs. We do have some leaks that have been repaired on a number of occasions. We are currently putting together a review of all of our roofs and all of our buildings. I would say the worst roof that we have currently is at the sheriff's downtown jail. It leaks badly at about every rainstorm, including this morning's, that we're going to have to get up and try and find the leak tomorrow. So, but at this time, and we have it, we supplied that price estimate for repairing, not repairing, but for replacing that at almost $350,000. We're going to delay that until we understand what the master plan is and what the long-term determination for that building actually is. There are other roofs that are in bad shape. You've got Elias, we talked about briefly at the last facility meeting, is in bad shape. Not the new part that was put on by Elias, but the old annex is in terrible shape. This roof here actually, for its age, is in pretty decent shape. We have a leak occasionally here, but a JDC is only 14 years old. You got to believe you can get 20 years out of a ballasted roof, at least that's what you hope. It's not had many leaks at all. Sheriff's garage is probably the next one. It's an aluminum roof, you know, but that's a couple years down the road yet. So, but we are putting together kind of a comprehensive review of where we're at with all of our roofs and in price estimates. So as we put this plan together, we'll be able to see what's going to come due in what year. And it'll be driven by what we think is going to go bad first, which is basically what you've got in front of you here. These are our top items that we think are in desperate need of being replaced due to their age and the amount of time that we're spending repairing them, trying to make them function for whether it's winter or summer or in between.
I think Alan Reinhardt, and I'd have to look back at my notes, did provide us something on roofs at one time, a study he had done of the age and when they were replaced and stuff like that. Am I not correct?
It was a very cursory study, and Dana is actually working on a much more comprehensive study with truer estimates that is just not ready at this point, but will be.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want the board, though, or this committee to be aware of that, because when a roof leaks, you can get a lot of damage to your interior walls and a bunch of other stuff, and then it ends up costing you more down the road. And I guess I would just say on the downtown jail, you know, once we get that study back and start moving on that, that could be a 3 to 5 year project or longer, you know, so you got to be mindful of that roof. Thank you. Any other comments?
Do our core buildings in the basin, do we get any water down there? I saw some buckets last time we visited.
I'm sorry, in what building?
The court building.
Courthouse.
Well, the courthouse where the evidence is and where the old archives are as well.
From time to time, we'll have a leak down there, but it's been mechanical equipment. There have been some leaks on the third floor that we've addressed. There are roughly a dozen windows that are leaking badly at every rainstorm. That's part of the window replacement project that we're looking at. But most of the leaks that have occurred in the courthouse are due to mechanical equipment, whether it's a drain that's plugged, evaporation drain that's plugged, and then the pan fills up with water, and then that water's got to go someplace, causing a leak.
It's
in fairly good shape. It's that building's 10 and a half, 11 years old.
So the evidence in the archive files are safe then, and they're dry.
Yes,
with
yes,
the humidifiers.
Yes, as long as we make sure that we take care of our mechanical equipment.
Okay.
Now, at the sheriff's office, we had a problem this morning with his one of his evidence rooms over there, and then fortunately, most of his evidence is stored in containers and was safeguarded. But we need to take care of that.
I'd like to make a motion that we put $800,000 into the general corporate fund as a transfer to the capital asset replacement fund, as well as $255,000 to be budgeted in the court's construction fund for next year.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Patsy?
Yes, I have a number of questions. I'd like to understand better where these estimates came from.
The estimates for the equipment, mechanical equipment, combination.
Yeah, that totals, I think it says 800,000. Yeah.
The mechanical equipment is a combination of vendors talking to and some of Alan Reinhardt's prior work, working with his staff, our staff, and Kirk.
So you've already spoken with vendors about these issues?
Trying to come up with price estimates for replacement equipment, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And everything that I read on this list is intricately, yeah, it really is, intricately involved in any decision the board ends up making related to the jail and where expansion will occur or not occur. And so I was somewhat relieved that you mentioned that there would be considerations on what might be determined to be done to the jail in relationship to some of these repairs. For example, if we're going to tear down the downtown jail, why are we repairing the roof?
Patsy, if I might interrupt you, you might want to look at that one more time. The only thing at the sheriff's downtown jail is the roof that we highlighted. It's our absolute worst roof that the county has. And what we've said, we've given a price estimate for replacement, but are stating that we're going to hold off until the master plan is completed. But the remainder of the items are for Brookins.
Okay, and the satellite jail.
And the satellite jail, yes, ma'am.
Well, it seems that we're moving toward any expansion to be done on the satellite jail. So one of the things in a design of the satellite jail, it may be zoned, and a water heater that's purchased now may not work into a long-term design of the satellite jail. So I'm a little concerned, not that these eventually get done, I'm concerned about the timing and the timing of this in relationship to the decisions that would get done on any jail expansions.
Sure, the master plan is ongoing and it's not completed yet, you are absolutely correct. But I've got to believe, and I'm sure that the sheriff can chime in, you're not going to see a removal of current showers, washroom locations in the existing facility. The only thing that, to my knowledge, has been discussed is possibly an addition to the facility. And so this water heater would only be servicing what is in existence today and what would continue to be in existence.
Okay.
The other items that you spoke about, the cracking is certainly a serious issue that you know needs some discussion and some direction for, because we're getting water that's penetrating the precast panels and doing some damage. How much? We'll have to have engineering company or experts tell us. But how that water is getting in needs to be determined fairly quickly. The other items that are on the list are the seal in between each of the precast panels. Those have completely gone bad. The building's 18 years old. We've talked a little bit about it before, that polyurethane material that keeps the water out between the two seals or between the two panels. It's aged dramatically. It's cracked. It's very brittle and porous now. So those need to be replaced, but also not just the satellite, but also at the JDC, which is included in the body of the document.
Okay, and then to Rachel's concern, but I assume other people's concern, I hope as we move along on the budget discussions that we can look at the budget from a total perspective to see if there aren't other places where monies can be shifted around to help with some of these facility costs, because the motion is way overshot to what we have in the way of money to do this.
It's finance committee business. I just want to reaffirm kind of the point. I remember making this point last year. I think I've already made it kind of in this meeting. We're setting up a budget as estimate. This list of projects are potential projects. None of them are being confirmed to by passing this list of recommendations. Each one will come before us in the board next year, where everyone will have an opportunity to decide if this is what we want to do and go through the process of RFP and all of that again. So this is, again, just a guesstimate of what we're going to need. I am with everybody else that it's probably short and we'll probably run into other things in the meantime we're going to have to fix. But at the time, I think that this is a good list. I think it moves forward recognizing the priorities of everyone on this facilities committee and the people of this county, and I certainly hope we can move forward and vote on it shortly.
Thank you. Jeff, did you have anything? Anybody else? Gary?
Don't know whether this is germane, but I'm going to say that I have reread this memo on that Van sent out, and I think he lays out a pretty good roadmap for us to follow with regard to the what we need to do at the satellite jail.
Excuse me, Gary. That's going to be our next subject, so can you hold that thought, please?
I will. Thank
you. I didn't
mean
to cut you off, but we're getting off base here. Okay, so we've got a... Rachel, go ahead.
I just have a quick question to Deb. So if we put, I just want to check that I understand what Josh was saying, if that's true or not. Let's say that we put this in the budget and it passes the board and so on, and then next year we come around to doing that, and okay, I understand we need an RFP, but wouldn't that be just a facility? It wouldn't be a board, because there is no budget amendment necessary once it's in the budget. Is that correct?
Right, there's no budget amendment necessary, but ultimately the county board approves. I mean, this committee can release an RFP or a bid,
okay,
but the approval of the contract that results comes here and then is forwarded to the county board. So you would still be, the county board would still have to vote on any of these projects.
Right, but chances are, like the contract to date would be consent agenda and almost nobody is going to read it and say, oh, I want to object to that one, and we'll say, you know.
Yeah, because you are establishing here, Dana has provided the priorities. These are what you should expect to see next year. If there's an unforeseen circumstance that comes up that precludes one of these being done, that's going to be discussed here at facilities. But yes, you're right.
My only concern is because we have two big studies, internal studies, the roofs and the nursing home that are not done, we don't really know that these are the highest priority. Out of what we know, these are the highest priority, but we don't really know what we don't know. So what I'm concerned about, and that doesn't preclude me from continuing to think about it, and as this comes up, I say, oh, by the way, did you look at the roof? What do you think? Do you still think the boiler is really important? But that is something we have to have in the back of our minds. And once it goes into the budget, everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's in the budget. Yeah, we don't need an amendment. Yeah, remember we talked about it? Yeah, it's the same thing. So I'm concerned about not having the full picture. And so obviously, I trust Dana that when he finishes his roofing, he's going to re-optimize it, and then he's going to say, oh, you know, the boiler that I thought was really urgent, now it's not. It's the window. I get it. But somehow, once you put it, I understand the need to save something beyond just saying, let's put $800,000, and then we'll use it on the best thing. But I would have almost preferred to say, okay, here is why we need $800,000. Okay, you see it? Now that you see it, let's take away the details and put $800,000 and then use them as the time comes up on the best thing and the most urgent at the time.
Well, I would, if you looked at this year's budget for capital asset replacement facilities, budget 105059, you'll see that the list there is very different than what you've ultimately done, because I think this is always a work in progress until maybe 3 years from now when we actually have a really good capital improvement plan for all of our facilities and we've all signed off on it and we agree on it. And even then, there's probably still some volatility to it because things happen that you don't anticipate. But I think this is just a way of documenting at this point in time of setting the budget. These are determined to be the highest priorities. I think absolutely Dana would bring back to you a reprioritization if, in fact, something that's not on this list came up that needed to be done next year. And he's not just going to plow ahead and do what's on this list and ignore something that's more critical.
Answer your question.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying there is a blessing and a curse in putting things into the budget as items, because in one way you explain where the number comes from, and another way you're semi-committed to that. I get it, you're not really committed, but you're more committed than if there was 800,000 and we just went after the most important project without any what notions we had based on our partial information. But I understand that's how the process works, so it's not like I can change it. I'm just concerned. So.
Anybody else? Quiz?
Yeah, I just want to say for the public's benefit that the risk of the consent agenda only exists if something passes unanimously from this committee. So if someone has a concern, they can vote no, and that means it doesn't go on the consent agenda. And of course, at every county board meeting, the consent agenda is just that. You have to consent to it being everything being included in it. So if there is a contract that's on there that was unanimously passed here, any county board member can say, I wish that to be removed from the consent agenda. So the risk is only that the county board members are not doing their job and reading their packets and letting things go by without acting on them. So,
yeah, and I would just add that the reason designation of items to be placed on the consent agenda is on every committee agenda is just for that reason. Even if it's unanimous, as if you as a committee decide you don't want it on the consent agenda, you can decide here that it doesn't go on the consent agenda. And you have a second opportunity at the county board meeting to pull anything off of the consent agenda.
And we have done that lately. Okay, so getting back, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next is the big one, is discussion of the satellite jail. And before you begin, Dana, if I may, I went back and I've reread the scope of services and everything that we put out. And I've got to say, my mindset was telling me that we were going to get this study telling us exactly what our building's worth is at this time, meaning the mechanicals, the condition of the overall building, and that wasn't in there. So I got to take some blame for that because I really thought it was. But I will say, once we sit down and we're negotiating the scope of services, we did discuss some of the items, but they were not in depth. I guess my mind was telling me, because you're overjoyed that finally something's going to be done, my mind was telling me that, you know, we're going to get this big study, and it's going to tell us everything we need to know, the life of the building and all that. They're definitely going to tell us the life of the mechanicals and the wiring and some of the other things. But as far as the building envelope, they're going to give us what I would call not a technical assessment. They're going to give us an overview based on what they see, and maybe doing a little extra there, but it's not going to be as in-depth as I first thought it was going to be, and so I just want to say that was an error on my part. Now you got it. Who do you want to talk to, the sheriff? Go ahead, Sheriff.
I'm assuming that when we get recommendations from the master plan, they're going to take into account John's study and also Howard's study. They may very well recommend exactly what John said to do, and you guys may decide we really need to do that before we put any more money into it. I mean, it could very well work out that way, but from my point of view, I think you need to wait and see what they say before you make a decision. The building's not in danger of falling down. I am very comfortable with what Howard had to say. We can wait and not go off half-cocked on this thing.
And if I could add to that, the memo that I sent you for this meeting preceded us meeting with the Gorski Reef Steck team. And so, and as the sheriff just pointed out, they have both reports, they have both engineering studies that were done on the precast panels, and they will include recommendations in their report as to how we go forward. So in the memo that you had for today's meeting that laid out that process for the future, we may not need the third bullet point, which was the RFP or RFQ, excuse me, for engineering services, depending on what they provide for us in their recommendations. But they are definitely going to recommend the way to seal the exterior of the facility. And it's depending on what they recommend on the engineering study, whether or not we'll have to go out for an RFQ to determine exactly what the potential problems might be.
Hey, that's one thing that I was going to bring up, Van, is that based on what we saw and based on what Dana's been talking about, that whatever they come back with, we this committee and or the full board, if we don't get into time for the committee, really needs to look at getting, and we probably won't get it done this winter. That's the sad thing. But we really need to look at doing something to stop as much penetration of that water as we can.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's where, that's why we ended up where we're at, is because we were trying to move very quickly and actually get those panel seams sealed prior to winter, which is why we launched into this in the first place. And then when we found out the seriousness or potential seriousness of the cracks, we had to take a step back. And with the second engineering report, one of the things, and I would recommend you go back and read both reports again, both reports tell you that if you really want to know what's going on, you have to do some destructive testing and material testing. We have opinions. We have an architect hired looking at this that is going to include this in their report also, and so at this point in time, there's not enough time to get anything done before winter, so unfortunately, we're going to go through another winter with the seams and cracks in the condition they're in at this point, so we're going to have a little more deterioration, but we will have a path forward as the master plan comes out. We'll know exactly the steps we need to take to get this taken care of. That's our hope anyway.
And any other questions? Jay.
I really hate to do this to you, but I've got to ask. I'm still a little concerned about your use of comprehensive. Now, you just indicated that you were going to give us a comprehensive view of all of our old potential problems, and I need to know that comprehensive means all-inclusive. I don't want a jury pick that, well, we look at the roof, but we didn't look at the foundation, or we looked at the windows and we didn't look at the, if we're going to go to all that trouble. I happen to think that's a great idea, by the way. I'm not arguing that. But I look back in the minutes, and it is definitely, Stan, you're not all wrong, on the minutes of Facilities Committee of August the 5th, with a discussion and some questions by, I wouldn't need to tell you who may have asked the questions, but Mr. Kimmy stated that they were working to conduct what would be in the best long-term for the facility option for the county, and involves the quality of space, environment, and inmates live, and so forth and so on, technical fitnesses of the facility, and will it take and bring both facilities to a point where they are buildings that can be relied on for the next 20 years. We didn't get anything to tell us whether that's going to happen or not, or whether that's even reasonable. And maybe it isn't reasonable. I don't know. I'm not a building person. But my point is, if we're going to do and study, let's have the study.
Jay, if I may, what you said there, the technical assessment, they are going to provide that. They're definitely going to tell us the life of the wiring, the mechanical stuff that we have there, the boiler systems. They're going to say, here's how much more life you can get out of this. Here's the cost now. Here is your cost if you don't improve it. I think our logic was, we thought they were going to look at the building and say, you're going to need tuck pointing, you're going to need foundation work, you're going to need, and that was not. That's not a technical. That is a whole different animal. And like I just said earlier, I misinterpreted it. I went in there thinking that's what we were talking about, and it all comes down to some words, but that would be a lot more money because they'd have to do some test borings and all types of other stuff to see if that building, like Patsy always says, what's underneath that building. You can't do that for that kind of money. There's no way. But they're going to give us an overall view, and they are going to give us some stuff. Like, they would have noticed that cracking if we wouldn't have. They would have noticed it, and they would have told us. So that's the page I think we're on. Van?
If I can add to that a little bit, you actually are going to get envelope conditions, and they are going to tell you what needs tuck pointed. They're going to tell you, for instance, in the downtown jail, the fact that when that building was built, there's not the control joints to prevent the brick face from cracking apart at like the corners in that. They're going to tell you exactly what needs to be done to those buildings to do that. With the panel cracks at the satellite jail, the problem there is that's beyond the scope of the, when they walk around and do the assessment of the envelope, like at the downtown jail and look at tuck pointing and that, they don't do any, they don't pull bricks out and those kind of things. They're looking at the condition, you know, and from their walkthrough, it's a comprehensive walkthrough is what they call it. But the cracking on the satellite jail is something where they would note the problem. They would tell us, you know, what needs to be done, you know, in their estimation. But what they wouldn't have included in the master planning review is the engineering assessment that you saw in that one of the engineers said needed to be done. So everything up to that point they would do. They would note the cracks. They would note that it's a problem. They would be able to tell you, you know, that you need to seal them like we already know, but they would come up with ways to seal them. But there's parts of that testing that is not part of the master planning that would be an additional cost. And that's what we're faced with. But for the rest of the envelope issues, they will tell you what you need to do so that those buildings will be serviceable for the next 20 years.
Just to reply very quickly, and I'm going to drop the issue because I see it's a losing battle, but if your brick and mortar is falling off your damn building, who cares what the rest of it's going to do?
You done? Okay, Geraldo?
So is it fair to say that this will be phase one moving forward?
Dana?
Phase one with the master plan, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, they're gonna present the plan, the master plan, to us for the sheriff to review and the board to review. I think they're going to make some recommendations about the panels that we'll have to then take on and decide what do we want to do and what are we willing to do. So the decision will be back to us. They will, they'll give us a roadmap to get there, but, you know, the question's going to come back to us.
So wouldn't this conversation is too premature because we haven't seen anything yet? We need to look at what they're going to provide to us in order for us to ask questions and move forward. You know, I would ask, you know, is Dan satisfied with what we put in that proposal to be submitted to Gorski? Is that what you're looking for in order to move forward on the issue?
I am assuming that they may very well follow John's recommendations in terms of get a backhoe, dig out a couple spots, bore into the concrete, and then I'm guessing that may be their recommendation. And then if it is, it'll go to you guys to decide, well, do we want to take that step or not? Now, if they come back and they say, Howard, the second engineer is absolutely right, don't worry about it, then you may decide, well, we're just going to go ahead. But, yeah, you're right. I don't think you need to make a decision tonight what to do. I think it's prudent to wait until we get the architect and the engineers that are working on the master plan to get their input now that they've had these two studies.
Yeah, because I saw phase two as any new in addition to what you didn't put on the first request would be an additional cost, and it would be a different phase than the initial phase that was requested because this one was more an overview, not a comprehensive, which I thought it would be more comprehensive, but I wasn't reading that on the proposal.
Well, if I may, Geraldo, regardless of how that master plan comes back, keep in mind that sometime next year, those seams and some of them cracks are going to need some work. And I think we don't want to get off the beaten path and say, well, but if we're going to add on, that add-on may take a while to occur, and you can't let that building just keep deteriorating. But it's just, it was an oversight when I looked at everything, and I take some of the blame for that. We all read it. We all sat in on the meetings. But it's when I re-looked at it, it's a master plan to let the sheriff know where his growth's going to be, what his needs may or may not be, and what are the best options for those. And that's where the master planning comes in. The other was just in there as a technical assessment on things. And then if you read through the rest of the scope of service, which we cut out, D and E and I forget what other, that got into more of the schematics and other things like that. But we cut that out depending on this master plan and telling us what we need because nobody knew. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and I had one more comment. Coming back to Quisenberry's analogy that if we do fix these cracks on a wall that potentially will be knocked down in the future to add something on to the satellite, would that be throwing good money after bad?
Well, if I read Mr. Anderson's report right, we won't do that. If they tell us this wall is the one we're going to have to open up, we're going to wait till they open up that wall and test that wall. But the other walls will be done, and what we'll do there, we'll hang up some blue tarps. Any other questions?
Blue tarps.
Patsy?
Yes. I hope we have learned a lesson. I'm listening to the interpretation and misinterpretation of this, and this came out of this committee, and there were only four people at the committee meeting who voted on it. It was unanimous, and it seems to me that there is great need for more eyes on what goes out, and I'm very concerned about the process that we have set up for ourselves and how we have problems like this, because I agree with the original interpretation when I read the document myself.
And I would respond, Patsy, you're absolutely right. And Jay and I have had discussion on this. It comes down to words and what one thinks and instead of asking the right questions. So that comes back to us. And as someone more famous than me once said, what does what mean? Any other discussion? Oh, any other discussion? Hearing none? So I guess we're just going to take this as discussion, and we talked about it, and when something comes in, we'll look at it again. Am I correct? Okay. So moving on, we're down to the Facilities Director report. Dana?
Thanks, Dan. First up is the Brookings Administration Center Energy Efficiency. Just a quick update. If you'll remember, you passed at the last board meeting with the caveat that we would only move forward with the contract if Alpha Control, if we could get the DCEO grant money, which we did get authorization letter from them for that grant. So the contract has been signed and sent forwarded on. We're awaiting the projected schedule from Alpha Controls. Hope to have that sometime next week. But that project will get kicked off here probably in the next month.
Any questions? None? Okay, Dana. Excuse me.
No, I can wait till the end of the report.
Okay.
Okay. Courthouse masonry project, glad to report that tomorrow should be our final day. We developed a punch list about 3 weeks ago. Walked it briefly this afternoon, going to walk it with IGW again tomorrow and review the list with what we actually see. There were only a couple items left on the list that were not quite completed but should be finished up, I'd say, by noon tomorrow. So that will be coming off the list, but they've done a nice job with getting that building ready for winter. Tuck pointing looks good. All the new expansion joints that were cut into the old portion of the building look, I think, phenomenal. It will serve us well for the next 15 to 20 years, certainly, before you have to go back and tend for the expansion joints, certainly, because it's polyurethane again, and it only lasts for so long. So, but
do they have any extra that we can use?
No, unfortunately.
I thought I'd ask. Any questions on that? I do have a question on the courthouse, Dana, while we're on it. the windows, and I know they're going to be in the budget, but I just want to make sure that when we're talking about these thermal pane windows.
Thermal pane, thermal frame.
Yeah, that no matter when you put them in or whatever, and most, I think, commercial, they only give you a year to 5 years warranty. And the News Gazette wrote an article years ago that I give all the people I come in contact with. I don't think Tom wrote it, but someone did. And it flat out says in our weather, when you have the extreme heat that some generate inside and the extreme cold, that no matter how new that window is, there's a possibility that seal in between, the gas seal, or they used to use crystal seals, are going to fail. So just because they're new, I don't want folks calling Dana and saying, well, we just put them in. How come we don't have them for 25 years? Because they can fail a year later or even sooner. But I just wanted to point that out.
That is true, but most of the good manufacturers as well as the installers will give you a very good warranty. To my knowledge, I've not seen every window in the new portion of the building, but to my knowledge, none of them have failed to date after 10 years, and these are the same windows we will be putting into the old part of the building.
Okay, I just wanted to bring that up where we're on the courthouse. Thank you. And then any other questions on that? Okay, parking lot?
Just a quick update on the parking lot. I know that several of you couldn't make it into the parking lot at the last board meeting. Apologize for that, but the oil that was placed in the cracks just had not had a chance to cure enough with the heat for the day, and we didn't want you driving off with it wrapping around your tires, so apologize for the inconvenience of having to hoof it a little further. We've completed about 60% of the work to the two lots to the north. We dug up quite a bit of square footage of asphalt. I can't give you the exact now because I don't have that in front of me today. But we did find that the lower level was in fairly good shape. Keep in mind, asphalt's poured in two levels, a two-inch level on top of rock base, and then usually another two-inch level on top of that. It was in pretty good shape. We've got some water seeping into the upper lot close to the Putman room that eventually is going to cause us to have a larger project and put in some drains at some point, but that's down the road. New asphalt's been put back where we took out. I think we're trying to schedule towards the end of this month of September, around the 24th through the 26th, the resealing, trying to avoid as many meetings as possible, and some of the other functions that folks have within the building. Paying taxes is kind of a priority. LIHEAP and some of the other folks who come to the building. So we're going to try and work around that and schedule something towards the end of the month. But resealing, actually, the two north lots, but as well as the lot that's out off of Washington, and restriping. So try and get that done in a three-day period. We'll have to inconvenience the public coming to the building over those days as well as the staff, but we made allowances to park on the grass 2 weeks ago when we started this project. So we anticipate handling in the same manner.
Who's going to be doing the sealing?
Dunn Company. They were the low bidder.
Any questions? Jay?
Just for the record, I noticed the other evening exiting the building in a rainstorm that the pipe that was supposed to hit the barrel, I assume that's in the area that maybe you're having an issue with. The water wasn't going in the barrel. Just so you'd know that. And I wasn't able to fix that for you, by the way.
So yes.
So noted, but it's been 2 weeks. You haven't come back.
That's right. Unrelated question for the director's report. Any update on the Illinois Green Business Assessment?
The quick update I've got for you is that we've kind of taken a summer pause. Ryan Wobbler, who we had been working very closely with over the spring, has taken another position within the state has moved to Chicago, and we have been shifted over to another person within their office. They reached out early last week, making contact via email, and we've got to set up a follow-up meeting, hopefully next week sometime. So we got to get back on it, but the summer was busy from them. Ryan had other priorities, so we'll get back to it this fall, finish it up.
Yes, perhaps I should have made a comment when we were on the number 9 discussion of the satellite jail. There was another proposal that Dan sort of wanted us to look at, and I believe it was going to be coming out of his budget. So what do we do with what we already accepted with Fraunhofer and Engineering Resource Associates?
Dan, he's talking about this report that you had this engineer, WJE. Do you want to address that?
That's Howard, I forget his last name. Hill, thank you. After I saw that first report that and the board meeting where we talked about the House of Cards, I was concerned. I've got employees and I've got inmates in this building, and I wanted to be sure it wasn't going to fall down. So that's why I went and got what I think is a national expert on this type of thing to come down and take a look. And that's what I'm saying. I think you got plenty of time to make a cautious decision, you know, think about it and make a cautious decision. I may be out of line, but if you don't mind, Chair, I don't think you guys should criticize yourselves. I think you did a fine job awarding that first contract to get a good, thorough walkthrough. That's what I would do if I was a homeowner. If somebody come into me and said, I'm going to charge an extra $50,000 or $100,000, why is that, Mr. Engineer? Well, because I might have to take down your wall, or I might have to dig out your foundation. I, as a homeowner, would say, well, I'm not going to pay you for what you might have to do. You come back to me. I think you guys did the whole board did a fine job with that. For what it's worth, I don't think you should criticize yourselves at all.
Well, thank you, Dan, but Jay was calling me every night, and I finally had to hang up. I had to do something.
Well, he's got to find somebody to pick on. If not me, better you.
So what you're indicating is that we're going to put the brakes on this till we get the Gorski master plan and then revisit this issue, or it's going to come out of your budget and you're going to move forward on it?
No. I don't have that kind of I paid for the engineer to come down, and by the way, I think it was $55,000 or $6,000. But once you get that, and once you get the master plan recommendations, then you need to sit down and decide, you know, are we going to do some destructive testing or not?
Okay.
But that, no, I don't have $40,000 or $50,000 laying around to do that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay, other business? I don't have any other business. Is anybody else? Gary?
This is questions for Dana, and maybe he has not the answer, and he may have addressed it somewhat today. But do you have any idea when we might get that report back on what we need to do at the nursing home? Thank you.
The report you spoke about is GHR. Jim Gleason is doing an evaluation of all the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, fire, laundry, et cetera, within the nursing home. He had hoped to be able to provide that to us by the middle of the summer. He is not. It's an extensive report, and basically he's got everything kind of down on paper, and one of the things we asked of him to provide was cost estimates so that we would know what we're talking about if we need to replace a boiler or four or rerouting the laundry lint, so all of those things. So it's taken more time, but I think that the final product will be worthwhile. It'll be worth the wait, and I would have loved to have had it a month ago, but I also want an accurate document that is descriptive and has priorities that are laid out.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm moving on down to the chair's report, and it says future meeting, but I want everybody to know that should be back to the future. It's listed as Tuesday, September the 2nd.
can make that meeting.
I'll be there for sure. Any idea when that might be?
October 7th.
There you go. So it'll be October 7th at 6 p.m., and Harkey's going to bring donuts that night. And then we're going to have a semi-annual review of closed session minutes. We don't have any, so that's not needed.
No, actually, you do, and the recommendation is to maintain what is closed as closed, if you could have that
motion.
We need
a motion.
I move that we keep our closed minutes closed under recommendation, I assume from the state's attorney's office.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries. And then designation of items to be placed on the consent agenda. I'm going to say 7 and 8, but I'm sure I'm wrong.
8 is actually going to finance, not the county board.
Okay.
So 7 is the only item that you have 7 for county board.
I was very close. And then I'm going to just declare us adjourned. Thanks.